Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, what's happening? Welcome to the show tonight. We have a good show on tap for you. We will be speaking with, Bruce Nathan, Republican candidate for governor of Florida. We're going to talk to him about why he's running, what he's running on, what his platform is, his slogan, I believe, is make Florida great again. He's a Trump supporter, Second Amendment supporter, First Amendment supporter, constitutional guy. You know, I got some flack from some folks that are voting for other people. That's what's going to happen when you're running for governor. That's the way it is. So we're going to have Bruce Nathan on here in a second. He's wrapping up his Facebook Live, I believe, right now, and he'll be joining us. But we got this just in case, folks.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Right, we got Bruce is going to call in. I just was contacted here on the Facebook Messenger. I want to say hello to Lorena, Kathy, Matt. I see my Florida fans are tuning in. Danny, Lori, Phil. What's happening, Phil, man? I miss seeing you at church. Terry. And we got our friend over there in New Zealand. What's happening, Mandy? Debbie, what's happening, homegirl? Joe Angelo's watching. What's happening, Joey? Mark Johnson's watching. Annette's watching. Hello, Annette. I can't wait maybe to have another event. Maybe a little closer to me next time. But in any event, we'll get it on the show. Earl and Marie and people, everybody on the live feed, thanks for tuning in. Everybody there on the Blog Talk Radio site, what's happening? I'm going to do this real fast while we wait for Bruce to call in. It's Liberty Rush and Dave Bray USA. You want to check out both of these. I'll be back right after this as we wait for Bruce to call
in. Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only. And then she will call the badge number or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about, basically. It's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty, and you know he's given his all, and you know when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform, they are very human just like you and I. They pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office, and the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws, and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says moreover than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray USA right now on Facebook. That's DaveBray USA.
Yes,
yeah.
Indeed, folks. DaveBrayUSA.com. Head on over to Dave Bray's site. Head on out to Mount Rushmore April 15th for the Patriot Union Party rally at Mount Rushmore, where Dave Bray will be performing. He'll be performing his new songs that will be on his upcoming CD to be released on Memorial Day. And that's going to be some good stuff. We will have some pre-release stuff to play here on the Patriot Nation Radio Show, so you'll be able to hear Dave Bray music. April 15th at Mount Rushmore, if you're there, or you catch some of the live feed that'll be leaving, or you will hear and preview brand new Dave Bray here before it gets out. We got it like that here, the Patriot Nation Radio Show. Dave and I are good pals now. We've been on this show many times together, and we really dig it. Yes, me and Coffee, I got 26 years sober in 2 weeks. Hallelujah. Who would ever guess that? Alcohol-free 26 years. That's right, me. Proud. That's another accomplishment in this long life. Celebrate the small victories, folks, even the littlest victory. You're losing weight. You lost a half pound. Hey, you still lost a half pound. You're hoping for five. You lost a half. Big whoop. You still lost some, right? Look on the bright side of life. That's just the way it is. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a pretty hot gubernatorial race going on here in the Sunshine State, and there's certain candidates that are running, and we're going to try and get some of them on. Of course, the liberalish candidates, I have no clue. Is there even anybody running on the Democratic side? If so, they're as quiet as a mouse. We got like eight or something running on the Republican side, and we got a Libertarian guy, Randy Wiseman. He came on the show once. And tonight we have Bruce Nathan. He's a Republican candidate running for the governor's office. He wants to be in this mess and try to help make Florida great again. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Mr. Bruce Nathan. What's happening, Bruce?
Well, can you hear me okay? Everything up there doing well there, Mark?
Yep, loud and clear. Loud and clear.
All right, good. There we go. Well, I'm.
Yep,
why am I doing this? You want to know why?
Yes. Yep.
Everybody wants to know why. It's about the kids. It's really. It's always about the kids in my world. Because when you have six children, you have to understand it's a huge benefit to have children, and then to be able to make sure that they're going to get what they need in the future. Not what they need as per, now you talked about Democrat before, as per them just getting it because you're going to give it to them, getting it because they're true Americans and patriots that are going to work hard to get ahead in life and be able to get what they need, just like we all have. So that's really what it's about for me. That's one of the major reasons that I look to my children to say, okay, this time to make it so that we can make Florida great again. And those aren't just words. I have solutions to each and every thing that I'm doing. So, but I will tell you, I'll give you a quick intro here. As a medical practitioner for 22 years, my life has always been about people or patients before myself. And that is one of the many reasons I joined the military in response to 9/11. So as a 9-year military veteran, an honorably discharged captain, I am anti-establishment, anti-corruption, anti-waste, pro-life, pro-Trump, businessman, faithful husband, and father of six children, fighting for freedom-loving Floridians every single day. So, there you have it. That's what I am in a nutshell. So, and I've got, like I said, I've got plans and my solutions. I've got a 770 plan. That's seven things that I should call it eight because I'm so hot in the environment. Because the eighth would be the environment, but it's not in any specific order. But the main things for me are economy, education, security, the judicial system, the veterans, of course. Ethical is one of the big things. And I've invented a healthcare system for the state of Florida. So, and then, of course, the environment. So right. So those are the major important things. We can dissect it one at a time, or if you have questions for me, I answer any questions. It's no holds bar, so you just ask me anything that's on your mind, Mark.
Let's see. What's more entertaining, the circus midgets or circus clowns?
Well,
Well,
no,
let's
seriously.
See.
on a serious note, you said the environment. I go outside all the time, and I look up into the sky, and I see these trails going across my sky every day. And as a candidate for governor, will you look into what that is and tell the people? We have an idea, but we need proof. We need someone who's going to get rid of that crap. They're killing us.
I'm not sure. Are you talking about the trail? I mean, you're talking about the planes that
geoengineering and chemtrails. Chemtrails is the conspiracy word for it.
You know, I'd have to look into that. You're the first telling me that about that. Not sure exactly what that does to the state of Florida, but I'd have to look into that. I know about all the environmental problems on the ground, phosphate mining. The toxic waste that's making blue-green toxic algae in our left and right from the Lake Okeechobee and such. And then, of course, there's the idea of the green swamp, which is up in the Lake Counties up there. And so it's a problem. It's called the green swamp because it's supposed to stay a green swamp, but it's 500,000 acres that people they'd like to be able to put places they'd like to have construction on there, but the problem is that there's all aquifers. That's the high point of our aquifers, and if we start to do construction on our aquifers, we might as well just kiss Florida goodbye. So there are so many things that are environmentally problematic here. And the last guy I just had on was Andy Mealy, and we just talked about for my show was no fracking needs to happen in this state at all, and then. There's no need at all for any kind of offshore drilling for any reason. We've got plenty of renewable sources that are right here in the state of Florida without right. having to go into anything else that's going to really kill
call it the Sunshine State for nothing. And a state called the Sunshine State, I think solar panels, but there's a lot of ill effects with solar panels, like birds frying while they fly over them and things like that. It's kind of rough. They're not that environmentally safe. But one of the things, talking about the environment, recently there was a pipeline issue. And where do you stand on pipelines going under rivers? And you know the way they're doing it now. First, I want to talk about the one they did in the Keystone – not the Keystone Pipeline, the one with the Native Americans there. I can't remember the name of it. The Army of Engineers went 100 feet below that river and put a new pipeline because there was one 10 feet under the river leaking. That never got out. They never told anybody that, and that's the truth. There was a pipeline underneath that river 10 feet, and it was leaking. And that's why they had to go down. And they went 100 feet deep with the new one. It's so deep under the ground, even if it leaks, there's no way it can get in the river. It goes down and back into the earth. But where do you stand on the pipeline? Now that I got that out of the way.
Well, there you go. So, you're talking about – kind of when you're talking about Army Corps of Engineers and the federal situation here, almost anything to do with the federal government encroaching in the state of Florida is generally bad. So
right.
I'm a big 10th Amendment advocate, and I have to look at every single thing that the federal government wants to do here and probably change it, tell them to leave or tell them to just go away. Because that's one of the big pictures for me is, you're Patriot Nation. I'm a constitutional patriot. I look at that constitution. And I say, there's a huge problem here. Now, when they tell us also that we can't fish during certain times of the year, because the federal government says, I'm sorry, we can't. And then the fishermen have to, they're going out of business or they can't eat because they can't fish and sustain themselves.
Right.
I'm sorry. There's something wrong there. So I have to kind of – not that I'm not answering your question, but I'm backing it off into the big picture. And the big picture is the problem with the federal government and everything that they want to do. It's not healthy for the state of Florida.
Right. At least right now we have a candidate in there who really is fighting for the common man. It's pretty remarkable how our president is. And what are your plans as far as taxes for Florida and how they're – allocated and how they're collected?
Well, I'm a again, I could, let's go to this book called Nullification by Thomas Woods. It's one of the big ideas that we have here is that we really don't need to have federal taxation here anymore. We have allowed it to happen. We as people in Florida, 100 years ago when they brought 16th Amendment here, we never ratified it ourselves. And there's a question if federal taxation has been ratified and is legal at all. I'm talking to more and more people every day that tell me federal taxation is illegal and we should stop it. So I don't run my campaign directly on that anymore because people feel that's kind of like a pipe dream. But if you're going to ask me that specific question, I'm going to give you the specific answer. I plan to be the first state to ever end federal taxation. And then we'll implement a state a tax that will take care of everything. And they used to call it a consumption tax, and it would just be 10 cents on the dollar. Basically, it just takes care of everything that needs to get taken care of, and we watch over what our money does inside our state.
Right.
On top of that, we implement a one penny tax because, of course, as a veteran, I'm very for the military. So all of our bases that are in the state of Florida, they need to get paid for. The one penny tax will end up going back to the federal government at the end of the year. It's not going to go to Congress because, you know, those guys will rip it off. It will go to the Treasury directly. And what will happen is that money will then be dispersed for whatever is needed for the bases that are in the state of Florida, and then they will be compensated. And this is, you have to understand, one penny tax or 10, this is billions and billions of dollars. So it becomes a lot of money very quickly, and it's easily used for the right reasons if we watch over where one penny goes, where a quarter penny goes, where half penny goes, et cetera.
Right on.
We don't have any state taxes here anyway. So,
right. There was some recent legislation hastily signed in the aftermath of this horrible tragedy in Broward County that because of the inept actions of the Broward County Sheriff's Office and the FBI and other law enforcement agencies that cowered outside while children got mowed down. But a law was enacted, signed into law by Governor Rick Scott, who should really be in prison, and took away the rights for 18, 19, and 20-year-olds to protect their homes and their families from intruders. Where do you stand on that?
I'll tell you where I stand on that, because since two of my children are – one is – go ahead, what?
That's a whole voting block that he just cut right out of campaign.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
God.
So my one of my children is 8 and is 20 at Maritime Academy up in New York, and the other one's 18 right here in U.S. Under an ROTC scholarship. Who likes to buy guns? Who has an AR? Got one exactly 10 feet away from me right now. Actually, he just bought two more, but they had to get bought under me because he could no longer buy them. He got caught in the middle of the law. He's got money. He's earned his money to be able to buy his guns. And now he, at 18 years old, cannot buy his own guns. So we were ready to enact a lawsuit against the state of Florida. I announced this the day before the NRA announced that they were going to enact a lawsuit against the state of Florida for this infringement upon our Second Amendment rights. Not only that, yes, how does the single mother who's 18 years old or 19 years old who needs a gun be able to protect herself if she lives in a rural area? How is she supposed to protect herself? The person that I'm putting primarily responsible is not just Rick Scott, but I'm calling him, I've already named him the shredder of the house. So you can use that. That's my new terminology of the guy who's the speaker of the house, who's going to run for governor. He is now the shredder because he shredded my Second Amendment rights. He's shredded my son and my daughter's Second Amendment rights. So he's the shredder of the house. That's what I will be calling him throughout my gubernatorial campaign. And he loses a huge voting block, like you just said, because he has taken away our constitutional rights. So, and the NRA, I just saw an article today that the NRA is actually now against him too. So he's lost their support.
I've reached out to him via email. I reached out to Richard Cochran to come on the show. via email. We'll see. We'll find out about confirmation here real soon. I gave him a couple dates. See if he comes on. We'll talk about that law too. His side. We'll see. Some of these guys who made it up the ladder and they actually made it to state house and state legislator. Just like any branch of government, we have become serfs. We're not they don't look at us as their rulers or the ones who pay their paychecks and put them in office. That they serve us. They forgot that part. And, there's a couple other folks in there that probably are in the same boat.
Oh, yeah. They got he's part of the swamp. They're all part of that swamp. Our President Trump says that he's part of the swamp. All the other candidates that are out there, Mark, they're all have something to do with the swamp, and there's stuff coming out on them every single day about what's going on with them. So that's it's incredible. So why how they could feel that President Trump is actually going to support them for some reason? It's shocking to me, but because that's totally against what our president is looking for, except for me, of course.
Some of the candidates got there because their daddy was in politics. Those are the guys you got to watch out for. I'm trying not to mention names.
Are we talking Republican side or are we talking the Democrat? So you're talking
Republican side. I have not researched the Democrat side at all. In fact, after this show, because I'm so ignorant when it comes to the Democrats, I don't even know who our candidates are running against. It doesn't matter because whoever makes it the nomination and is the candidate running for the Republican seat for governor is the guy I got to vote for, because I cannot in any way, shape, or form vote for any Democrat candidate to run our state. Can't do it. So,
it's a close primary, Mark. Yeah. So it's a close primary. So it's not going to, if you're a Republican, it's not going to make a difference anyway. And I was down in Miami on a radio show down there. It was Cannabis Life Radio. And little did I know I was going to be on a panel. I was on a panel with Whoopi Goldberg. So, she wasn't really her. It's just like her. It was kind of like her, exactly looked like her same kind of mantra. And talking down about President Trump, saying, oh, President Trump has just done it, just became president to make money. I said, what? I said, what are you talking about? So I had to keep coming back at her. She's not even talking about the what's going on. And I said, listen, it doesn't matter who on the Democrat side runs for the governor of the state of Florida, because since 1994, we haven't had a Democratic governor here. So it's not going to change under Trump. It's going to be. So whoever wins the primary on August 28th for the governor of Florida, for Florida, that's the governor. And she goes, oh, no. What about – and I'll tell you the other ones. There's Gwen Graham. There's Andrew something up there in Tallahassee. And there's this other one that just jumped in. She's a just big cannabis person. That's all. And that's all she wants to do is grow and smoke and grow. So that's their whole platform. So, but Gwen Graham has got the father, Bob Graham, and he's the one that's been here. He's the senator, governor. So he's the daddy. So he's on the Democrat side. So there's so much money behind Gwen Graham. It's really thought that she's going to just take that nomination basically, or get that primary vote. So it would basically be Nathan against Graham. As soon as we have the primary locked up, I will start enacting certain things as governor in the state to make sure that things are going to start moving along, because as you know, the government moves so slow. And we can't take it anymore. So my solutions that are out there, like with my 770 plan, and I'll jump into one of them, education. The education system has got to get changed. No more Common Core. It's a cryptic Common Core. The testing situation is out of control. That, and we've got the solution already. We know the new teaching methods I'm going to put back out, which is kind of – a lot of it is the same as the old teaching methods that you and I learned on a long, long time ago. Say again?
Reading, writing, arithmetic.
There you go. Memorization. Rote memorization, too. So that's how we used our brains back when. And we've lost a lot of that. So we have to take that and then add it to the technology that we have today. and put it together, and we've got a perfect plan to make that happen. So it's the perfect storm of education is really what it is. So that's where I'm going to go. That's just one of the many topics. But these are all, you know, the person that's going to come and be the next governor has to have solutions. So you talked about, you had the libertarian guy in it. Well, you know, no offense against him, whoever it is, he doesn't have a chance. There's only right now we're in a two-party system, no matter how you slice it. Because I ran for NPA for the United States Senate just for against Rubio and against Murphy in the last cycle. And, you know, and I got very little notice that even being there. I grabbed 52,000 votes with extremely small amounts of money, but that's, which is good. But that you can't, as a no party affiliate, you're not going to win. You have to be on the Republican side to win. And that's it. And so that's where we go. So I don't plan on losing. I don't do anything to lose ever.
Right. Right.
So whoever's running. Yeah.
No,
the libertarian
no
that's running on.
If you lose, you lose. Say no again? Participation trophy. Then if you lose, no participation trophy. I got a quick question.
Right.
Yeah. Going back to this fiasco in Broward
okay.
County. It's become apparent to many folks. Many folks who have common sense and you know, try to be law-abiding citizen and pay attention to what's going on, believe in our hearts that Sheriff Israel belongs behind bars. If elected as governor, would you try to have an indictment drawn against Sheriff Israel?
Well, I'm thinking between now and then he's probably going to just resign and disappear. So, you know, that's what I would think. We have to look to the future and how we implement this and make sure that our children are safe now and today. That's what I have to say. Should this guy go to jail, to answer your question? He probably should, but that has to go along due process. And then you're going to have to get the AG to take care of that. So, I've got this program already set up. Cool. Go ahead.
That's what I was saying. Would you push the attorney general to draw an indictment against him?
Well, I have the attorney general. Yeah, I'd have the attorney general look into his whole situation, the whole way that he runs his department, if he's still there. I'm telling you, I think he's going to be gone before anybody gets in there. But I've got this other thing. If you go to schoolmarshals.net, we have a security force that's now, because of my campaign, and there's a Marine running the schoolmarshals.net, that we've got a security force that's out around the state of Florida at various different schools that are watching over the schools now. Nobody knows where they are, who they are, and when they're going to be there. And that's the whole idea. It's just like a sky marshal. When you go on a plane, you don't know where the sky marshal is and if he's on your plane or not. But you know if he's there and you're going to start something, you're going to be eating the floor really quickly and with handcuffs on, and your destination is not going to be very far. Same thing with this. These school marshals are there. If they start to hear gunfire, they run towards the gunfire. These school marshals are also veterans. They're volunteer veterans. That is something that I tried to implement 2 years ago with the sheriff's department in my area, and they said, ha, 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 funny. We have no money. Well, that's ridiculous, because I knew that these guys were, that our schools were soft targets. I knew that a long time ago, tried to implement it back then, couldn't get anything done. Now, today, there's school marshals out there, schoolmarshals.net. Look it up. The security force that's actually been in Florida that's running it, they've been here since 1985. So they've been here for a long time. We've implemented them to start with us to make it work, and we're all on board. So I'm the only candidate that's proactive like this, the only one. So you can ask every other candidate that's coming on your show, say, do you have anything going on now to protect the schools? They're going to go, what you say? No. Or they'll come up with some excuse. I'm not going to come up with an excuse. I get things done.
They'll say Governor Scott already enacted all the things that he has done. So the work has been done by Governor Scott. You don't have to do anything.
Right. Okay. He got some money his way. But, you know, okay, if you've read what has to happen, it's somewhere near 200 hours of training these guys have to go through before they even get out there. And that part, the only part that's actually been enacted so far is my Second Amendment rights shredding for my children. There's one other part, but they haven't gotten anybody out to the schools. And until it's actually July 1st, because July 1st is when all the laws actually get put into place. So it's really, really not happening until July 1st for the rest of that law. And then what happens is it takes this 200 hours of training, the implementation of the money, and it's going to be a long time before you actually see something really out there happening, except for me.
And it seems real easy that they could put like a even just a little fence with two guards. You don't even need a wand, you know, and the only way in and out is through one gate, and every other door is an exit only for emergencies. Simple. If you open up an emergency door, an alarm goes off. You get caught. That's simple. It is
more simple than they make it out to be. You know, in New York City, they have metal detectors going into these schools. I mean, how else do you think they keep the crime rate down there? So, that's what they do. No reason why we can't do the same thing here.
I want to tell you that good old Warren Wilhelm, with a.k.a. Bill de Blasio, has sent the armed officers off school grounds in New York City. Scary.
Oh, de Blasio? Oh, that piece of work. Help me, Lord.
His real name is Wilhelm. That's his last name. Warren Wilhelm. His name is not Bill de Blasio.
Yeah.
But he don't want to, I can't win with a name like Warren Wilhelm. How can I win if who's going to vote for Warren? Nobody. I'm Bill. Bill de Blasio. How are you? Welcome to New York City. I'm the mayor. You know, just like that, he's something else.
But, Mark, they just voted him back in. They just voted him. How stupid can they be? So what are you going to do? So he's got another four years there.
They get what they deserve. They get what they deserve. Now, Florida is notoriously a hot spot for human trafficking and illegal immigration. I actually had the gentleman running for lieutenant governor, Dr. Mario, on the show, and he's a big proponent to stop child and sex trafficking in the state of Florida. And I learned recently that 7 counties in Florida are actually sanctuary counties, mine included. What will you do with sanctuary counties? Because it just became apparent that the sheriff of my county, after some illegal immigrants served some time, he released them after their time was served without notifying ICE. And he's a, quote, Constitution guy. I called him. I spoke to him on the phone about the Constitution one time, a long time ago, when he first got elected. And he swears that we all abide by the Constitution. And he set these people free without notifying ICE. What will your plans be with sanctuary counties here in Florida?
Yeah, no, well, closed. It's all anything to do with the illegal sanctuaries, because they're illegal sanctuary cities. They're under the law. They are not supposed to be here. They were never supposed to be enacted in the first place. And they were never even supposed to be enacted under Rick Scott. But, you know, when money changes hands in an offbeat way, then all of a sudden things happen, which is just so wrong. It's against us. It's against the people. And I even take it a step further, Mark. They even want to give these people, they call them community ID cards, which was supposed to be the same as a state ID card. Not happening at all. We're not going with any more illegalities. No more criminal illegal aliens. No more of these illegal sanctuary cities. They all will be closed. I'm telling you, I'm boots on the ground. I'm going to go make sure. I'll go county by county. And I'm not going to announce. I'm not announcing to anybody first that we're going. It's just going to be myself and the state troopers. We are going there, and we are bringing buses, and they are getting on the buses, and they are leaving. That's it. I mean, I can't say it any more than this. We have to find out how many are there, bring enough buses to bring them down, and get them out. And helicopters are coming. Make sure that they don't run. This is what we have to do, because otherwise we're going to have cells that are going to be here that could be Islamic terrorist-type cells, and that's not what we need to have here in Florida. The idea of safety, security in Florida is what has to happen. It has to happen fast. So that should answer that question just all by itself. Because I'm not going to be the law and order governor. There's not no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Nobody's paying me off. Nobody's doing anything to accept that we're getting them out. That's it.
Right on. And that is another hot button topic. There's obviously a nationwide. It's not specific to any one location. It's a nationwide opioid epidemic taking place, being personified by the pharmaceutical companies, and of course the federal government has their dirty hands in it because they're making money. Where will you be? What's your plans for the opioid problem in the state and across the country? I mean, a governor's got to have some say in this, don't they?
You know, Mark, you know, the governor is more powerful than the president of the United States. Nobody seems to understand that. No governor has actually taken that power and used it for the people, because they want to make sure that federal money keeps flowing in. See, where I'm talking about, I don't care about the federal money flowing in because I care more about the people. So just to let you know, I've got this program called We the People Healthcare. It's a patent-pending system for healthcare for every Floridian that wants healthcare. And with this healthcare, on one side of this healthcare, it's a capitalistic program. It's not a single payer. Spent years putting it together. The pieces of the puzzle are there, and it works. But one part of it is actually the farming of it. With the farming of it, what we're going to be doing is – say again?
I was going to say, so the reason that you were able to come up with this plan is because you worked in the healthcare industry for a number of years, correct?
Work. I am working. I'm a 40-hour-a-week physical therapist. I see patients every single day. That's what I do. You can't – look, I'm not a politician. I'm a guy that's out there.
All right, I'm good. Go ahead. Tell us about the plan.
So here we go. So to get rid of opioids, you have to have something else that's going to be able to be put in its place. We voted in medical marijuana, and there's no reason why the Tallahassee should be dragging their feet like they do. So I'm going to be implementing medical marijuana to make sure that it gets out to people who need it. And I'm telling you, I see people every day as a medical practitioner that need medical marijuana, can't get it for a number of reasons. Either they can't get their medical marijuana card, their doctor won't prescribe it, insurance doesn't cover the marijuana. Something is going on where they can't get it. And so then they have to take these opioids because the doctor says, well, it's covered by insurance and here you go. And that's what's going on. So that has to stop. So it becomes the free opioids versus the medical marijuana that's too hard to get. And of course, Big Pharma has made this system happen just like this. So we have to stop that system from happening. The only way to do that is by implementing my plan, making it so that we get, you know, medical marijuana out to people that need it. We decrease their opioid use. We say, listen, if you want medical marijuana, you don't need that opioid anymore. And they're going to say, fine. We swap it out, basically. And then this is the beginning of a state that will be able to say no more opioids. And we're going to push back on all the opioid use, not only via the doctors, but via the pharmaceuticals, and make it so that they are no longer going to be allowed here in the state of Florida because we don't need them. Do you know, Mark, there's a right now, for people that are on opioid or addicted to opioid, if they want to get off opioid, it costs. There's a pill that'll help them get off opioids, but it costs $13 a pill to get off the opioid, and you have to take a number of them a day. So just think how expensive that ends up becoming if you want to just get off the opioids. But who made this whole design? Who designed this plan? Well, the pharmaceutical associations designed this whole plan to make it so, well, if you want to get off one drug, you're going to need to have another drug. So that's the problem. So I know this problem. I see this problem. I have, again, another solution to this problem.
So what about on the recreational side then? Because, you know, that's where it's rolling towards, is recreational. And the federal government frowns on how they think about recreational. Many, you know, because I don't know about you, but in my lifetime I've seen people from the age of 16 to 75 who partake socially. It's pretty amazing. Sometimes my eyes pop out of my head. Partake. Like, what? Really? You? Holy crap. You're 69 years old. Yeah, you know, I'm going to die happy, I guess.
Well,
I'm going to be happy. Where do you stand on the recreational side?
They're from the 60s era. So you have to remember, they're brought up with that, you know, so that's where it is, you know. So
And my name is Peach, and this is my song.
What's that?
I said, hey, man, my name is Cheech, and this is my friend Tommy Chong.
There you go, a teaching song. We know them well. But what happens is with that, I will, and I've made this promise just last Saturday, and I'll stick to my promise, because it takes usually takes a petition to get it on the ballot, and a number of signatures on a petition to get it on the ballot for people to vote for recreational marijuana. What I will do, I'm elected in 2018, 2019. I will put the governor is allowed to put a ballot initiative on there. So I will put a regulatory ballot initiative on there for recreational marijuana. It'll have to be voted in by the people, because we are a republic. We are not a dictatorship. So I will make sure that, you know, that gets on the ballot. If the people voted in, then I will sign it into law. There's really, really very little chance the first go around that's going to get voted in, because we are a conservative state more than anything else. And I don't think it'll pass, but I'm happy to try and let people vote it. That's what we're all about, Mark. We got to vote for things. And sure. So we'll see.
Well, for me personally, I'm not a big fan of amending a constitution. I believe putting the medical marijuana under the Florida Constitution was bad news. It should have been legislated. I do understand why it was put on the Constitution, because the legislators were dragging their feet and the people needed relief. So people tried, and they did what they tried really hard to get it done. And the only way they could see fit is to let the people vote on it. But it wouldn't it be grand if they could legislate it instead of putting it on the Constitution, because once it's on the Constitution, it's hard to make any changes to that.
Are you saying legislated by enacting it as making
as
it
law.
So it is recreational?
Right. Instead of amending the Constitution and making it a constitutional thing, because to me, a constitution is about rights, and we keep amending it. We have our rights. It's called the Bill of Rights, and everybody wants to keep amending the Constitution. I mean, there are things that need to be done. I agree. Like, you know, balanced budgets need to happen, and these guys need to be held accountable. But, you know, like, to me, the Bill of Rights is it. And then there's the rest of the amendments on the Constitution to just throw in there to restrain us. And I think that amending constitutions is not a way to go. So legislation to me is probably only my own opinion, the better way to go.
And I'm not sure how you're equating that with marijuana medical side and marijuana recreational side. How are you?
Well, if you wanted to amend the Constitution and make it legal for whatever reason, just amend the Constitution for any reason, medical marijuana or whatever the case may be, and to amend the Constitution, I don't think it's a good thing to go. But that's my opinion on any topic.
No, but
change the Constitution or amend the Constitution for any reason. And we have lawmakers that are supposed to be up in Tallahassee making laws so that the people don't have to fight back by amending the Constitution. That's basically what I'm saying. It shouldn't be up.
Well, this
I mean, the people.
Mark, this has nothing to do with the Constitution. Doesn't do a Constitution. This is not a constitutional. This becomes a statute. This becomes either you're illegally allowed to have whatever kind of marijuana for your now it's for medical use. You're allowed to have so much with a medical marijuana card. And, you know, and you are allowed to have that. The secondary part of it is recreational. People vote that in. So that becomes another law. It doesn't become part of the Constitution. It becomes a part of a law, a new law that's been placed here to make it so that we now are allowed to have regulated recreational use, just like you have regulated alcohol, 21 years or older or whatever, something like that. Has nothing to do with Constitution. The Constitution, the Bill of Rights is the Bill of Rights. I'm not amending that. We're not going anywhere with that. I wholeheartedly believe my Bill of Rights, those 10 amendments stay. They don't get changed. They don't get, it's not breathing, living. It's that's who they are. That's what they are. I'm a constitutional patriot. So I'm not sure where you're going with marijuana and Constitution. These are laws. These are adding laws and statutes. That's not the Constitution.
Okay. So anyhow, medical marijuana is important and people need it, and it's getting done. Hallelujah.
yeah.
So now we had this collapse. We had a collapse of a bridge. What's Governor Nathan going to do for the infrastructure of Florida so things like this don't occur again?
Well, you know, I just had this conversation. It's so funny. The privatization, first of all, we got to get away from the United States, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers are fired. They suck. They are, as when I ran for Senate, I found out that they have unlimited funds and zero oversight. So they come in and do whatever they want, however they want, however long they want to take and everything else. We need to have privatization of all of our infrastructure throughout the state of Florida. Just like, you know, Donald Trump goes out there, he gets bids on things. He'll get 3, 5, 7, 20 bids, whatever it is. And he'll look at each one, which is going to be the highest quality, which is going to cost the least. And on top of that, if anybody's going to get it done faster, then they're going to get a bonus. That's what I'm doing here in the state of Florida. So all that construction that you drive by through Orlando, West Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, all of that stupid construction that, and I know it's down at FIU, it was just there a couple of weeks ago. That construction that's down there is out of control construction. It's been there way too long. It needs to get done. It needs to get finished the right way because it's not only a safety hazard as this bridge just collapsed and they said they were in the middle of fixing it or whatever. Bull, that's a lot of crap. But, you know, they just wanted to try and keep their hands clean. But the idea is to make sure that we're going to keep an eye on all the infrastructure. And once we get them all taken care of around the state and all cleaned up, then guess what? It's so easy to make sure that we maintain all of these bridges, the roads, and everything else. There's tons of money for this. You've gone down the turnpike. You know how much it costs to go down the turnpike, the quick little 50 cents here, $1 there, $2 here, $10 there. You know, that's a lot of money. It's billions of dollars, billions. So we've got plenty of money for infrastructure, repairs, and getting it done the right way and quickly.
Right. I'm originally from New York. I don't know if you can tell, bada bing. Roads in New York are horrific. I got even the worst roads I've driven on in Florida, some of them made of dirt, still aren't as bad as the roads in New York. And they've got billions.
Well,
$13 to go on the George Washington Bridge. $13.
I know. I know. And the bumps that you go through and the potholes that you go through on the GW, man, it's out of control. But it doesn't matter what bridge you're going on, if you're on or what street, if you're on the Major Deegan, if you're on 87 on New York, I drove up and down those roads in the Bronx. I lived in the Bronx. So, you know, I know. I hear you.
Speaking of the Bronx, we got kicking off April 1st, my good friend Gonzalo Duran. It's Vet Talk with Sergeant Gonzalo Duran Wednesday nights, kicking off April 1st. I'm looking forward to having him back. He lives in the Bronx. Love the Bronx. New York.
Where? Where? Where in the Bronx?
There in the borough. I don't know exactly where, to be truthful.
No?
But
okay.
Yeah, I'm in Florida, and he's in the Bronx. I don't know exactly where he lives. I wouldn't want to say it on the air.
Because if you're by, you know, 168th and Yankee Stadium is like one area. You could go to Riverdale, which is another area. You can go to where Columbia University is, where it's another area. Bronx is huge.
Fort Apache.
Yo, come on, that's just because of a movie. You watch the movie. I know. I can hear that. So, the movie Fort Apache is Bronx. Oh, my word.
I used to like to park right under the train tracks there and go walk across the little footbridge to Yankee Stadium, the old Yankee Stadium. There was always the guy up there with the saxophone playing, take me out to the ball game. I had to throw $1 in every time I passed the guy.
There you go.
You know? He's talented.
There you go.
Doing take me out to the ball game for 5 hours straight. He plays the same song. That's talent.
that's talent. So anyway, so let's talk about our veterans for a second. Of course, being a veteran, I think it's very important that we take care of our veterans. So in the state of Florida, I will absolutely make sure that – I'm sorry?
I'm all about veterans. I love my veterans. I am so thankful of those who serve. Thank you, Bruce, for your service and sacrifice so that I can be on this radio, on this live feed, blabbing and saying what I feel. without worrying about retribution. Hallelujah.
Right.
Thank you.
A lot of people don't know that that's what it is, and that's what it takes. It takes you know, going out there and making sure that we're going to be safe. But, you know, the veterans that have come back, they've not only, and if you had Mario on, Dr. Mario Jimenez, he would tell you the suicide rate among our veterans is out of control. It's something that can be stopped if they had the proper medical assistance. And again, that's where my We the People healthcare system would come in. They'd have 24/7 medical assistance with zero cost and no deductible. So, and they can be seen anytime, anywhere, for any reason. So that's what has to happen. So that would reduce the amount of suicides for our veterans. But on top of that, they want jobs. They not only want jobs, they want careers. So that's all on board with making sure that we get them careers that are going to be satisfactory to them for what they've done for us.
Yeah. I think it would be amazing that a veteran gets a card, and it doesn't matter if he's in Indiana, Chicago, or if he's in Florida, wherever he is, he just has a card. Oh my God, I just broke my left ankle and I'm in the Grand Canyon. He should be able to take that card, go anywhere in the country and say, here I am, help me, and and take care of. That's it. That's where I stand on that. They should have no red tape, nothing. They should go able to walk with them. Here I am, I got my card, help me. And that's it. It should be that way. That's where I am.
It should be. I agree. But running for the governor of the state of Florida, I can't push the rest of the states to do what they should be doing. All I can do is tell you what I'll do in this state. So that's the bottom line. But I wholeheartedly agree with you, Mark.
I love the veterans. I just attended an event in Sebring, Florida. It was called Project 65, run by Veterans First. Veterans, the number one with an ST. Check them out. And I believe they have another event coming up this September in the Circle in Sebring. It might be a good spot to go down and holler at the folks, Bruce. You know, then let people like it when you're out in public speaking to them and shaking their hands. They love that stuff.
Oh yeah, no, I'm everywhere all the time. So we're always doing something. So
my friend Annette Owens.
That's what?
She's running that, and I could hook you guys up. You should probably talk down there. They had a great crowd. It was a good crowd there on the Circle. They had vendors. They had veterans galore. They had the radio station out there. It was awesome. And she's a very nice lady. They're good people, and they love their veterans. And they are raising money to help bring awareness to 22 suicides a day, which we all know, folks. There are way more than 22 suicides a day. These are just the ones that happen to be on the rolls at the VA that they're counting. There are many, many of these guys that are homeless, that aren't counted, that are doing things for themselves that nobody knows. And it could be more like 100 a day.
Yep.
And so we really, really, really want to help these guys. It's up to us, the people, the ones that are free because of them, are spitting in their eye. That to me is sickening. You know, we should not do that. Uh-oh, we lost Bruce. Hopefully he calls back. But we should not be doing that. We should be taking care of our veterans. They are the ones that make it possible for us to do shows like mine and that make it possible for us to be free. And these guys, I'm telling you, the Marines that I know are Marines for life. They have a duty to the Constitution. They've sworn an oath to the Constitution, and they take that oath to the Constitution seriously. And once a Marine, once a Army Ranger, once a Navy Captain, whatever your branch is, you're always that for your life. It never leaves your heart. It never leaves your soul. My father was in the Korean War. God bless him. And he's a soldier. He's a Navy man. That's it. He's been that his whole life. God bless him. He's a part of the greatest generation. It was the greatest generation that fought off the Germans and won the war and liberated millions. And that's our grandparents' parents. And we got to take care of them. When you talk about all these social programs and giving all this money to these illegal immigrants, and we have homeless veterans, that is, to me, so ass-backed that not one illegal immigrant should get a scrap until our veterans, every last one of them, is off the streets and helped. Man, we lost Bruce again. I don't know what's going on. Bruce is having trouble with his phone. He should be calling back. I'm just ranting. Sometimes that happens. I am right here at the end of the show anyway, so we're going to get all – hopefully he'll come back. He's there. There he is. Bruce, we need you to give out all your information. I'm right. I just realized I'm right here at the end of the show. So give out all your information, your websites, your donations, if someone wants to help you campaign, whatever the case may be, volunteer, get petitions, whatever the case may be. Now's your time to give out all your information.
All right. Yeah, well, no petitions. It's 120,000 petitions, so most people don't do that. So the the website is BruceNathan2018.com. Facebook page is Facebook.com, of course, BruceNathan2018. So everything, Twitter, BruceNathan2018. So if you go there, I appreciate you going to the Facebook page, liking the page. And then if you can volunteer, it's great. If you can share, it's great. If you can donate, it's really great. So you've got to, it's very easy to donate and all do all these things. I've got a really super terrific marketing team. These guys are right on the ball. And everybody on my team is a volunteer. Nobody's getting paid. So that's the thing. All the money goes directly back to the campaign to advertise, to get my name out there, to get me to a new place or another event, to make sure people know what I'll do. And I'm the governor that's going to be here for the people. I'm telling you, boots on the ground, military veteran. I mean, you can't, and a medical practitioner. So I've got heart and soul, and I've got practical experience with to become their next next governor. Not political experience, politician, practical. So to be out there and be with people. So that's what I'm all about. I've been to thousands of homes in my life to see patients, thousands. I mean, that's no exaggeration because I do home health care. So I've been doing it 22 years. So a long time I've been doing this.
Hey, Bruce, my friend Annette is on the live feed right now. Hey, Annette, I was just talking to my friend Bruce. Maybe you guys should hook up. He's running for governor of Florida. Maybe he could speak at your event in September. Maybe you guys could work out the details. That would be awesome. To get the word out, Bruce Nathan for governor, if he's your guy. Bruce Nathan for governor 2018. Is that the website? Say the website again, Bruce.
No, BruceNathan2018.com. BruceNathan2018.com.
Head on over there, folks, and help out. If this is your guy and you want him in office, do your part. I want to thank you, Bruce, for coming on. It's always a pleasure, brother. I'll be looking at
thank
your
you, Mark.
Ask Bruce on the live feed.
Thank you. Thank you very much, buddy. Appreciate coming on. Appreciate you having me, man.
You're welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Bruce Nathan, running for governor of Florida. Like I said, if he's your man, hit his website, check him out, help him out. If that's your thing and he's your man, there you go. Bruce Nathan, running for governor of Florida. There are other candidates. We have asked a few to come on. I reached out to Richard Cox, actually, and I've reached out to a couple others. As you know, I had Randy Weissman on. I had Don Baldoff on. I like Don. Don's a good guy, too. I met him, and I really like Mario. Dr. Mario, he's the running for lieutenant governor right now, and he's awesome. He came on the show, and his story is amazing. What he went through to rise up and become a doctor and become a legalized citizen of our country. He's an amazing man. I back that guy. And he's fighting child and sex trafficking with all his heart and soul. So God bless him. God bless you, Bruce. I hope you guys good luck. I wish you guys
good luck.
Thank you,
Mark. This is Mario's running with me, just so you know. So Mario's running with me. So we're the team.
Well, there you go. We like Mario. I like Dr. Mario a lot. I like his story. I like him a lot. He's a good guy. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of my favorite parts of doing the radio show. As I love my country. Take care. I love our flag. I love America. And I love each and every one of you guys that tune into my show and make it a show. So at this point, we are going to do the national anthem because I love so much to do the national anthem. I will put the flag here in front of the screen so you guys at home can rise with me and join as Dave Bray takes us through the national anthem. Ladies and gentlemen, DaveBrayUSA.com and the national anthem. I got some cool shows coming up too here, so I'll be in right after the national anthem with an update with an upcoming schedule. Here we go. Let's do the national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. Hail the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say doth that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Star-Spangled Banner is done by our friend Dave Bray. Right now, I'm going to check the calendar I got. You may have seen the story, ladies and gentlemen. A young lady, simply for being a concealed carry permit holder in the city of Roanoke, fired her and escorted her out with three armed sheriffs. There are some other twists and turns to that story, but she's coming on this Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, right after Conservative Perspective. That should be quite interesting, don't you think? And so we've been working on that, and a couple other guests we're working on come in Monday and Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network and Facebook live feed, right there. You see, right here. And we will come back at you this Thursday with Storm Durham, fired for being concealed carry holder, 22 years old, working for the city of Roanoke. No longer is she working for the city of Roanoke. I guess there was some body cam released, some body cam footage that kind of contradicts her story. We'll get all to it Thursday, 8 o'clock, so join me then. I want to thank each and every one of you guys for tuning in to the Patriot Nation Radio Show. God bless you, and God bless America. May you be blessed. Good night.